This time on episode 166 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk Luke Cage, suckas need bodyguards. We're going to talk about the weekly Marvel news and your feedback.
I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and just the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of criminal spinsters.
If you'd like to talk to us about criminal spinsters, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you want to talk to us about any criminal spinsters, call us on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook. We have a page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can tweet us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And if you want to see our video companions, come on over to youtube.com/GunnaGeek and watch us talk all about criminal spinsters.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
So let's just jump right in. We're talking about Luke Cage, suckas need bodyguards. Why don't you ladies start running down the director and the writer for us?
All right. The director is Sam Miller. He has IMDb credits as a director going all the way back to 1994. Yeah, looking through all the stuff that he's done a lot of shows in the UK. He did 6 episodes of MI5. He did 2 episodes of Black Sails, which I still need to watch, but now it's on Hulu, I think, so I can watch it. He did 1 episode of American Crime. He did 10 episodes of Luther, which is a fantastic show. He did this 1 episode of Luke Cage, and he's doing 3 episodes of a miniseries. It's an upcoming miniseries called Gorilla, as in, you know, guerrilla warfare, not the monkeys. Well, apes, technically. But this has Luther star Idris Elba, so I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, and the episode was written by Nathan Lewis Jackson, whose writing history goes all the way back to 2014. He did 3 episodes of Resurrection before joining Luke Cage. He's only got 1 written by credit on Luke Cage, but he is an executive story editor for the series.
That's right. So very integrated into the story, and they gave him a great episode to write. And what going back to Sam Miller, it's a great episode for him to direct as well. A lot of things coming together, coming to play. And this is, I think it's safe to say, this is the close of Act 1. For the Luke Cage series all the way to episode 5. So really looking forward to what's in store for the series starting in next episode. But we're not going to get there right away. We got to talk about this episode. And the first thing we're going to talk about is hashtag Marvel's Netflix is all connected together. We're talking Trish talk.
It's all connected.
I don't think I realized it was that Trish the first time I watched it. And then this time I was like, Trish.
I immediately knew. I was like, Trish Talk, that's awesome. Although it sounded more like a podcast because it was put together. It was edited way too well. There weren't actual calls back and forth. It was like Trish Talk, the best of Trish Talk podcast, I think is what we really were listening to. And also it sounded like we were listening to the podcast in Luke Cage's earbuds as he's running around town. So Luke Cage listens to podcasts. So Luke, it's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Starpie, and Lauren and Haley. Hi, how you doing, Luke?
Yep, that's what he was listening to when he was running.
Yep.
With Trish, I assumed it was like kind of cutting through her show as we kind of hopped around the city, like letting you know what the people think about what's going on with Luke Cage.
She did. And the people that have not met him have issues with him, but the people that know him don't have issues with him. So Luke just needs to go out and meet everybody. I think that will solve everything.
Right. Yeah.
Shake hands and kiss babies.
Do a nice little meet and greet.
That's the way politics runs down in Texas, right, Lauren?
Yes, unfortunately, because that means this is the country of, I will vote for this person if I feel like I could have a beer with them, which means we get the worst people in office.
Yeah. That's a horrible metric for your political leaders.
Yeah. Like, look, a lot of my friends I would go out and have beers with, I do not want them running anything because I have seen them when I have had a couple beers with them.
I don't want them running the washing machine.
Yeah. Look, you could probably say, hey, Lauren's cool. I'd like to have a couple beers with her. And that's fine. You don't want me running things.
You should let me run things.
Running the washing machine like a Samsung washing machine just in case it explodes. Is that what we're talking about here?
I didn't know that was a real thing. And then apparently that's a real thing.
Apparently you don't listen to the Gutty Geek show.
Yep. Also, John Oliver did an awesome skit this weekend.
Y'all both did a thing on that. And I was like, oh, okay. This is a real, wow. Okay. that is a thing that I learned about this past week.
Yep.
So we got all these great things going around Harlem. And talking about politicians, we've got one, Mariah. Is it Mariah Dillard?
Mariah Dillard, yes.
Mariah Dillard. And she is having a couple of interviews. Now, I suspected. Now, we've had interviews going on, and I have not seen this series. This is my first watch through, by the way. And I just suspected that this interview was different. And it was, because not the live interview, but the one they filmed earlier, because she was being set up. She was being set up hard, and it was just interesting to watch. You knew that it just wasn't going to go smooth with her in her own house, especially with the little back and forth that they had back and forth with the reporter, who I didn't catch the name. Do you either of you two remember the name of the reporter?
No.
I'm blanking out.
Yeah. So it really doesn't matter, at least not for this episode. And there was a little back and forth, and you could just tell the disdain that they had for each other, and you kind of knew where it was going. So that was cool. And then the live interview, Lauren, why don't you explain what happened during the live interview?
Okay, so this interview that had happened, Tembi, by the way, is the reporter's name.
Okay.
Tembi Wallace. The interview earlier was this very, like, you know, Mariah's putting her best face forward, and she's been doing this whole thing this whole time of, oh, Harlem, I'm making it a beautiful place, and, you know, this very public face. And at the same time, you know, the second the cameras are off, she's just this deeply unpleasant person. And when this interview happens in her house, like, again, cameras are off. She's just snapping at everybody. She's in a bad temper. And Tembi, the second the cameras are on, kind of uses that against her and starts off the interview with that lead-in that she gives her. They're like, oh, which face of Harlem are you? Because before, Mariah was like, I am the face of Harlem. You know, you see this with a lot of people in power. Like, they become so convinced of their own irreplaceability. And Tembi has been, you know, being a reporter and having all this footage and stuff and being around her, has seen the other side as well. And it's just the perfect time for a gotcha interview, especially with all the stuff that's about to go down.
Yeah. Well, and also at this point, I would assume she's been doing her homework. So she knows all this history about her family. She knows about her ties to Cottonmouth. I can't remember. Was there stuff about the money in that interview too?
Yeah. They mentioned that millions of dollars were found in her office. Yes.
Yep.
But they also mentioned that it never hit the press at all. So this is news to everybody in Harlem and in New York City, because this had not been reported unless you were personally involved, unless you had personally met Luke Cage. You really didn't know what was going on until this interview. And so this is a big revelation. Simultaneously, we had the corruption with the police department that was uncovered and suppressed. So I don't know if that has anything to do with, in this episode anyway, as far as we know, I don't know if that has anything to do with Cottonmouth and his connections, or maybe, is it Domingo? Is that the big boss that he's trying to get the bullets from for against Luke Cage? I think it's Domingo, right?
That's the guy he's going to sell the guns to, yes. Diamondback is the big boss, though.
Diamondback.
Those are different people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I don't know if it's Diamondback's connections or whoever. I doubt it's just the city officials with the buffoonery, although I suppose we are talking about government, so maybe. I don't know.
Wait, for which stuff?
For covering up the police corruption at the end. See, at the end, you got Misty in the police office with her captain, and then the, I don't know, commissioners.
I didn't see that as covering it up. It was looking into it to see how far this corruption went in this particular
Bureau. they were investigating the one cop, and then in that investigation, they turn up another one. So now it's like, okay, well, how many more do we have? You know, you kick over a rock and then all the little bugs come crawling out. It's like, how deep does this go?
Right. Absolutely. But I got the feeling that they wanted to cover it up. Like, it's not happening. So are you saying they're trying to cover it up because they're going after more people?
I didn't see it as a cover up at all. I saw it as them being there to investigate these cops. These are guys from outside of this precinct that are coming in to figure out what's going on in this particular precinct.
Okay.
That's what I saw as well.
And I would assume that's general practice with police, is if they find corruption, they're going to quietly deal with it as opposed to publicly deal with it.
Well, that's what the Internal Affairs Division usually does. Mm-hmm. So I assume they were either from the leadership of the police department or they were from Internal Affairs, or maybe both. I don't know. So that's what I heard. But I heard the captain say that they were going to cover it up or quiet it or something like that. Maybe I heard wrong, but that's what I heard at the end. So in any event, you've got that going on. So you got the police department corruption going on. You've got the political corruption going on. And then you've got the criminal. I won't say corruption. It's just like business as usual. Cottonmouth puts out a hit on Luke Cage and for $100,000. And you know what I'm thinking? You know, I'm in the market for a new car, right? And these thugs are running around in a Suburban. It's an older model Suburban, but it's still a Suburban. So I'm thinking, if I wanted to replace that Suburban with a new Suburban, it's going to be about $100,000. So I don't want to mess up the Suburban during this search for Luke Cage. That's the way I'm thinking right now. And of course, the Suburban got completely messed up because Luke Cage actually stood in front of it and crumpled the engine. And that Suburban is not going to go anywhere. That Suburban is totaled. Yep. I know a thing or two about totaled cars recently, too, by the way.
Yeah, interactions with superheroes lead to a lot of property damage.
Pretty much. Kind of like how when I used to watch Power Rangers, after a while, I started to wonder, why do people still live in Angel Grove?
What is there to even still live in?
Exactly. They rebuild so fast. But here, I mean, the insurance premiums when you live in an area with known superhero activity must be just sky high.
Have you seen Powerless yet?
No, yes. I keep meaning to, but I watch so much other TV, and I started watching Stranger Things finally, so now I'm watching even more TV.
Yeah, I'm still catching up on The Expanse, but Powerless deals with a little known
Bruce Wayne's cousin, Van, is leading this division that's supposed to come up with like technologies to deal with the chaos of having superheroes and supervillains fighting around you.
Exactly. I love the premise. I just need to find the time to watch it. And I love the cast on it, too. It has like Ron Funches and Alan Tudyk, and it's wonderful.
It's a funny show. And every week you have some major supervillain and superhero fight that ends up destroying a lot of things. And they need to make some new things to protect the town or whatever. And once they even made something for Batman in his utility belt, which was pretty cool. And they didn't know that they were doing it. They're totally clueless on the impacts of what they do in totality, or maybe coworkers that might be superheroes in disguise as well. So it's fun to watch. Basically, it's just a fun popcorn show.
One of the characters accidentally starts dating a henchman. These things happen.
They do.
I forgot about the henchman. That's cool. Anyway, back to Luke Cage here. And we got Trish talk, so we might as well talk about another Marvel Netflix universe connection, Claire Temple and Claire's mom. Haley, tell us all about that interaction.
You knew Claire had to get it from somewhere, and she got it from her mom. So her mom, I mean, in the beginning of the episode, she just calls Claire and is like, hey, you know that bulletproof dude, he's in the diner. You should come see him. But later, she brings the van for Claire. The van is one thing. If my daughter gets scratched, I'll kill you. I don't care if you're bulletproof.
Claire's mom is the best.
And there was an important interaction, by the way, with Mariah and with Cottonmouth as well about ways that you could kill Luke Cage.
Drown him. He got gills.
Set him on fire, poison him, find out who he cares about and go after him that way. Yeah, there's different ways. And I hate to say it, but I think I caught a little bit of a sexual tension in between the two cousins. Maybe I saw that wrong. Okay.
I don't know. I think that's the scene, though, where you realize how much of this evil criminal empire is like, oh, she's doing this. She didn't get caught up in her cousin's scheme. Like, she's in this as much as he is.
She is. So back to Claire. You know she's coming into the episode and she's a nurse. So you know she's going to be patching up somebody. And guess who she patches up? Or at least temporarily.
Scarf.
I mean, she tells him he needs to go to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, she tells him several times.
So Scarf has a meeting with Cottonmouth. One-on-one, and he lets Cottonmouth get within range to not only hit him, but take his gun and shoot him with his own gun. Scarf is not a very good cop.
He's, okay, I feel like this might kind of, like I pointed out before, there's a little bit of like racial dynamics at work here. Like you saw Scarf when he went in several episodes ago, and he's just not showing any respect to Pops at all. You see a lot more of that here. He's not showing any respect to Cottonmouth at all. And it's like, this guy is dangerous. I mean, he didn't get to where he was by being stupid. He didn't get to where he was by not being dangerous. This is somebody that if you're not going to treat with, you know, respect person to person, you treat with respect in terms of not letting your guard down. And he seems to just completely disregard Cottonmouth in every way. And thus he gets shot. This is what happens when you don't have respect for your colleagues, enemies, whatever. Let's face it. At this point, they were colleagues because they were doing business together. It did not end well.
He didn't see the last episode. You don't come between Cottonmouth and his money.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every other line of dialogue he has involves money.
And give me, I know I've got all your money in lockup, but give me $100,000 anyway. Okay, well, I suppose that might work if you think he's got a stash somewhere, but it didn't work. And he not only got shot once, but he got shot multiple times. He was wearing a vest, so most of the center mass shots were avoided, but he still, I think he would have survived if he would have got his butt to a hospital a lot sooner.
He spent so much time bleeding out on Pop's floor.
And the new barber chairs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like, instead of, getting to a hospital and, getting questioned for being a dirty cop and, you know, bringing all this to light and doing the, let's face it, the right thing, he went and bled out and went hypervolemic and died.
Yep. I mean, how did he think this was going to work out, though? Even if Claire had been able to patch him up, like, where are you going to go? What are you going to do?
I'm not sure he was thinking that far ahead, and I'm not sure we ever really see him thinking very far ahead, ever.
But it's like, he didn't want to go to the hospital because he knew he'd end up questioned by cops.
And he knew that some of those cops might be Cottonmouth's guys and they'll kill him. Oh, look, you ended up dead anyway.
Yep.
The whole scene, the whole episode, you see Misty having to deal with this from, oh my gosh, Scarf might be a corrupt cop, to, well, no, he was there for me, so no matter what, I want to be there for him. And then she's not only betrayed by Scarf, she's betrayed by this other cop she set up with, Lieutenant Perez, and she has to deal with that by doing the old fake phone call in the car. Perez is stupid.
Yes.
Was the phone ringing, dude? Come on.
It's another case of completely underestimating someone.
No, the new vibrate on the phone's that haptic vibrate thing. It doesn't make any noise.
He's close enough to see the screen. So it didn't have a call screen on it. She just looked at a white screen. It didn't have the, it looked like an iPhone, maybe not, but it didn't have the green Android call thing on it.
He didn't have his head in the game.
No, mm-mm. No, not at all. He was busy texting his ex who still wants the D, which wasn't true either, but nice, Perez. Real nice.
Yeah. Again, I feel so bad for Misty because she is a good detective. She wants to get all her details straight. She wants to pay attention. She wants to get the correct answers. She wants to do the right thing. But at the same time, because of this, she's the one that the dirty cops kind of flock to because she's the fly in the ointment or whatever. And especially after being partnered with Scarf, who I don't know if he was dirty from the moment they partnered together or what. I'm not real clear on that timeline. But because of her association with him and now with Perez, she's tainted. She's a good cop, but she's still tainted because two people that she was partnered with were corrupt. And it's like, how do you shake off that reputation?
This is going to be interesting for me to watch for the first time. I have no idea what's going to happen. I haven't been spoiled in this. I don't know how I haven't, but I haven't been spoiled in where it goes from now. So the whole cop and corruption thing and who's she going to have to work with or run into, it's going to be interesting. We did get a little bit into her beginnings as a cop because a Scarf basically took her under her wing as a detective, basically. And she went through the whole viewing the quote-unquote crime scene. It was Scarf's apartment. She was viewing that. And we got a little bit of background into Scarf, by the way, right before he was killed. Like, his son killed himself, shot himself with Scarf's weapon. So we learned a little bit about him to make him human to us before he died. I hate how series do that, because why do that in the same episode that they die? Why don't you build up to that? Why don't you show it to us before? But I guess they just didn't have time in the story evolution or whatever. But we did try to humanize, or they did try to humanize Scarf. And then you had the Misty with watching Scarf in his apartment as well. Is that a superpower, or is she just that good of a cop that she can freeze frame a crime scene like that?
She's just that good.
Yeah, I don't think it's literal freeze framing. I think it's just giving us, the audience, a visual representation of how her mind is working. Because it's just us seeing that she's very, very good at paying attention to details and picking out things that don't fit.
As a parent with three older kids, I would so love to have that. Just to, you know, go into the room and like, okay, what happened here? What was going on? You know, that sort of thing.
You don't want that for your kids' rooms.
Yeah, no. Fair enough.
You really don't want that.
No.
Maybe when they're smaller, I guess, but not when they're older. You're probably right about that.
It's like, what was going on? Oh, y'all nasty.
Anyway, this was a good episode for me. Might not have been the best one. I think that was the one with the, you know, over the shoulder rocket into the building, but they've all been pretty good so far. Do you have anything else to say about the episode, Lauren, before we move on?
Just a quick little fangirl note. When I was getting ready to go to bed the night that I was doing the live tweets, I noticed, you know, Rafael Sadiq is like your tweet. Rafael Sadiq is like your tweet. I'm like, I know that name. And I look it up to make sure I know. And it's Rafael Sadiq, who used to be in the band Tony, 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 and is now a producer and a performer. And he actually did a couple songs in Luke Cage and was a performer in the club. And I fangirled because I really liked Tony, Tony, Tony as a kid. And a lot of the stuff that he produces now is fantastic. And yeah, the soundtrack for Luke Cage has been so top notch. One of the things that I really, really hope is that it introduces people who maybe aren't into hip hop or haven't been into hip hop in a long time, is that it introduces them to new artists to follow, because there is this whole beautiful world of music out there. And Yes, it's just so worth a listen.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it so far. It's been very complimentary to the series, so it's been making it fun as we go along. Haley, you have anything else about the episode before we move on?
Just quotes.
All right. You're up for quotes.
Wear a mask. I ain't no hero. Pay me.
I forgot about that whole thing. It was basically, hey, you're a superhero now. Be a superhero. And Luke's like, I don't know about that. And they were talking about the whole, you need to go play ball. Like, no, you don't, because then all the incidents that you should have gotten hurt and you don't are there on HD replay over and over and over again. So you're going to be found out. And I don't even know if that's legal to play sports with a superpower.
No rule says a dog can't play.
I'm sure that they would amend the laws of every professional league, NFL, hockey, baseball, whatever, that says, no, you can't have superpowers to play the game.
Just form an all-superpower league.
That's what I was getting ready to say. They would just start a new league. Do you know how much money they would make?
Oh, so yeah. Much. A lot, yeah.
All right. Claire, you are far too beautiful to ever apologize for anything.
I agree.
Totally. And oh, by the way, I don't know, you're probably going to talk about the coffee later, aren't you?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Scarf cracks a lot of jokes, but he rarely smiles.
That was sad.
Sad.
You want to watch me whip in Nene?
I had that song stuck in my head for the rest of the evening after that.
Thanks, Mariah. The van is one thing. If my daughter gets scratched, I'll kill you. I don't care how bulletproof you are.
Claire's mom is amazing.
Yep.
And it's okay. She doesn't need a ride. She can walk home.
You're safe and your mom's van is insured.
I wonder if it really was insured.
I hope so.
And what exactly is that, you know, insured against major gun damage? What is that? Is that an act of God? Is that collision? Is that comprehensive? I don't even know. I don't want to know.
What do you do when somebody punches a hole through your van into the neighboring building? Why don't we start by getting some coffee first? I'm not sleeping with you. Whoa, did I say anything about that? Why can't coffee just be coffee? Okay, you didn't even touch your coffee this morning. You drink the orange juice. You don't drink coffee.
I love that she noticed that. Claire is amazing.
That was great with Claire calling him out. I know what coffee means. You don't drink coffee. Therefore, no, I'm not sleeping with you. That was an awesome interaction. Way to go, Claire. I love her. Ugh, I can't wait to see more of her.
That's it. That was the end of the episode.
Where would you ladies rate the episode in the first five?
I don't know.
Not the best, but pretty good, right?
Yeah, not the best, but still good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Plus, any episode with Claire is like automatically up there.
It's true. Claire and Claire's mom.
What was Claire's mom's name? Just Claire's mom, or does she have a name?
Give me like 2 seconds. Claire's mom's name is Soledad.
Okay. All right. Well, next week we will be blessed with yet another episode of Luke Cage Manifest, and we're going to talk about our first thoughts on Iron Fist, although I honestly will not be watching it.
Right.
So, because I just don't have time and I still haven't watched through Luke Cage. So the ladies are going to watch it and they're going to give you their first takes on it. So it's going to be really exciting because I'm going to be clueless. And yes, I know what you're saying. How is that different from normal? Well, it really isn't, but we're just going to pretend it's different next week, all right?
I'm debating taking Friday off.
Well, it's a good day to take off because it's St. Patrick's Day. You've got the NCAA tournament going on and you have Iron Fist. So I think you have plenty of excuses to go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Just don't drink a lot of green beer while you're watching Iron Fist because you will never remember it.
Yeah, I work from home, so I could just spend Friday getting wasted and watching Iron Fist while I work.
And how much work is going to get done on Friday? I think it should be a national holiday, but whatever. All right. That's what we're going to be doing next week. And in the meantime, we're going to move on to some news.
As many of you know, yesterday, as of our recording, was Pi Day.
It's Pi Day, Pi Day, gotta get down on Pi Day.
The most sacred of nerd holidays in which we eat pie and are joyous. And MIT had a celebration for that.
Yeah, so every year, MIT, being a nerd school, does stuff for Pi Day. Last year, they did a spring admissions video that featured BB-8. And this year, Their Spring and Missions video featured Riri Ironheart Williams. Some MIT current and former students made a fan video, and it's amazing, and it's beautiful, and I cried watching it because apparently I got very emotional about both Riri Williams and Pi Day, I guess. But yes, it's very good, and you should watch it.
I asked the Amazon assistant, we'll just name it that so it won't go off right now, but I asked the Amazon assistant to go over the numbers of Pi, which she actually said that she could do. She only went out to like a dozen numbers or something like that. I was very disappointed.
I can do more than that.
It wasn't all that much. I mean, it could have been more. It was disappointing. But Riri Williams is not disappointing. I'm not one of the stuck in the mud old guys on this. I'm actually enjoying the transference of the Iron Man name over to her. So it's pretty cool.
Cool. Well, as we mentioned earlier, Iron Fist is premiering this week and Finn Jones is talking. And as we mentioned last week, it's not getting the greatest reviews right now. And Finn Jones has decided it's all Trump's fault.
Yeah. So Finn Jones temporarily quit Twitter earlier this week because he got in some Twitter fights with people over this. And then he told RadioTimes.com that he says, I think the world has changed a lot since we were filming that television show. I'm playing a white American billionaire superhero at a time when the white American billionaire archetype is public enemy number one, especially in the U.S. We filmed the show way before Trump's election, and I think it's very interesting to see how that perception, now that Trump's in power, how that makes it very difficult to root for someone coming from white privilege when that archetype is public enemy number one. I don't think that's it.
Yeah, that is not the complaint I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, in this day and age of whipping around the press, fake news and whatever, I guess if you just throw some thoughts out there that might be a different viewpoint, that you might take the heat off the original message, I don't think that's going to matter.
Do we want to just read exactly what Radio Times said about it? Because
yeah.
I think it's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Radio Times review points out that the drama shows a privileged white guy mansplaining martial arts to a female Asian sensei. And it's hard to believe that no one found the optics of that troubling.
Yeah. Back when we were first talking about, oh, they're doing the Iron Fist show, one of the things that I remember us talking about was the premise of Iron Fist has always been a little cringy because it's the very 1970s white savior archetype that's really of its time.
Yes.
And a lot of people are hoping, well, if they're going to do it, let's maybe try to get rid of some of the cringier stuff. And it sounds like, no. And then another explanation I saw is, oh, we're doing this for the fans. And it's like, are you?
Yeah.
Since the fans are the ones who are kind of angry?
They might have thought they were. I don't know. It just didn't turn out. So they need to resurrect. The important thing is that the next one out is the Defenders, right? And we're all expecting great things out of the Defenders. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which that's in the fall, isn't it? In like September?
And I don't know. I think so. Maybe.
We might be caught up for that. I don't know. That's. We'll see.
Because that I'm looking forward to. Now that I know that I shouldn't be looking forward to Iron Fist.
I know. It's
thanks,
like
internet.
It made my decision not to watch it a little bit easier.
I'm still looking forward to Jessica Henwick and Rosario Dawson, but I mean, my expectations are pretty low. Then again, yep. I figure if you go in with low or no expectations, you won't be disappointed, but
it's true.
Yep. Well, next up, we've got some casting or lack of casting information for the movies for the MCU. Starting with what might happen with Cap after Avengers.
Yeah. So there's a quote from Esquire. Sitting on his couch, he groans. Evans explains that he's hurting all over because he just started his workout routine the day before to get in shape for the next two Captain America films. The movies will be shot back to back beginning in April. After that, no more red, white, and blue costume for the 35-year-old. He will have fulfilled his contract.
Didn't I also see some sort of a news report lately that Nick Fury himself doesn't know if he's going to be in the films?
I don't remember seeing that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think it came out that he didn't. And I didn't know how serious to take it, because you never know what sort of smokescreen they're trying to throw, or you don't know what they're trying to use the character for or whatever. So Samuel L. Jackson, by the way, is who we're really talking about with that plays Nick Fury. And he said he didn't know if he was in the film or not. I find that extremely hard to believe, which tells me that he's filming something, actually, and he just doesn't know what it's for.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine if he is in these movies, it's not going to be a huge role. And they tend to shoot the big effect shots up front when they're doing the filming, so they've got more time to work on those effects. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be in the big effect shots.
Well, he was in Ultron with the aircraft carrier. But yeah, you're right. Who knows?
Right. But are they really going to crash more aircraft carriers in the next movie, too?
I don't know. It depends on how many they make. They'll crash them when they make them, right?
Well, the more you make, the more you crash.
This time they're going to crash like spaceships. Got to up the game.
So would you ladies be devastated if Chris Evans was no longer Captain America?
I would be sad that we don't get to see him in tight shirts and shirtless anymore.
Yeah, but we can rewatch the other movies.
Yeah.
Isn't there that gift around with him taking the log apart with his bare hands?
Yes, that's been around since before that movie came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that will never go away.
Is that the cover on your phone, Haley?
No, the cover on my phone is just plain and black.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thought you might have had a GIF as your background.
Yeah. No, my phone background is a fat seal.
Oddly enough, I am wearing a Captain America shirt today. So there you go. Who else is not out there that has been cast for a movie?
Well, Natalie Portman, but that's not that big of a surprise. But we know why, apparently.
Why is it?
Apparently, they broke up. Thor and Jane broke up.
Aw. That's the same thing with Iron Man, too, right? They broke up?
Yeah, it's like they don't want to pay people. So they're like, let's just write them out. And it makes me kind of angry.
Does Marvel not understand that shipping is a big thing between the characters?
You'd think they'd would, but...
Because they're going to lose a lot of audience that are like, I can't believe that she's not... Take your pick on she, by the way. You've got Jane Foster. You've got... what's her name with Iron Man? The character's
Pepper
name.
Potts.
Pepper Potts?
Pepper Potts. Yeah, you have Pepper Potts. And then I don't even know if Emily Van Camp's going to be around much longer. I mean, Peggy Carter's gone, so I don't know.
It's like they decided to stop paying women.
One use, two use, three use, and you're gone, right?
Have either of you heard if Sif is supposed to be in this movie?
I haven't heard anything.
Like, I know Jamie Alexander's probably a little busy, but, like, she should really be in this movie, I think.
You would think.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know who's in and who's out. I should have paid a closer attention, but there was dozens of names.
There's
out
so
there.
Much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But okay, so last week we talked about Logan, the movie Logan, and we got a little hung up on, wait, how old is Wolverine?
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, the Nerdist put out a timeline, and it's the timeline through all of the movies.
Oh, good.
And they start with, well, they don't start with his birthday, but they get to it eventually, and I think they said it was 1832. So he is almost 200 when we get to the events of Logan. That's not counting the time that he relived because of the time hop thingy after Days of Future Past.
So he's over 200. He's at least 197. Then if he relived, it would be over 200. Bicentennial Man. Marvel's Bicentennial Man. There you go.
Yep. But he's had a good long run. So you can check this out if you want to know about the whole timeline. And they seem to, we kind of talked about what timeline is he in at the end. They seem to think that he's in the same timeline that you get at the end of Days of Future Past, that reset timeline, which ends in 2023, I believe. So in 6 years, the world went from the end of Days of Future Past, where everything was shiny and like futuristic, to whatever's going on in Logan.
Wow.
It's too much corn, I guess.
And he got old real fast then. Because he wasn't that bad off.
It's that corn syrup is real bad for you.
It is.
Yep. But continue with that. Apparently, Hugh Jackman didn't want that ending of Logan to start with.
What did he want?
He wanted to not die. He's like, maybe it'll be just a powerful ending if he, you know, doesn't die. And everyone was like, hmm. And then finally the director was like, but what if he does die? And then he's like, oh, I guess, okay. And then has to admit that, yeah, it's pretty good.
You don't want a character like that to pass away as a character off screen. I mean, Star Wars has this whole thing that they got to deal with in between Star Wars 8 and 9 with Princess Leia. I wouldn't want to be in that position. They obviously have a plan, whatever that plan is. But to do this with Wolverine, and Hugh Jackman's not in any danger of dying anytime soon. He just wants to eat a hamburger. But still, this, if he doesn't come back, then you have to get rid of him off screen. And you just don't want to do that. So I don't know. I mean, recasting, we've gone through that before. It's been done with Spider-Man. It's been done with Batman. It's been done with all these characters. And eventually it's going to have to get done with Wolverine if they want to bring the character back. But as we discussed last week, they don't necessarily have to bring the character back anytime soon. So we get a chance to see other characters that become mainstays in the mutant Marvel universe. So that'll be cool.
I like that we got to see like the full resolution of a character's story arc, as opposed to the just like the movie franchise petering out and them rebooting and relaunching and let's do that same thing again.
Yeah.
You know, how many movies was in he in? Almost 10? I don't remember.
The one dangling thread that would be nice to sew up would be after he was pulled out of the river, what happened there? And then after he was running around when he became Project X, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Weapon X.
So those are two stories that would be
cage
nice.
Cage fighting. He was a cage fighter for like 24 years.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I assume he was just puttering around Canada doing the kind of work you can do without any sort of documentation. And then the last bit of news is that Legion is renewed for season 2. Yay! And maybe by the time we get there, I'll know what's going on in season 1.
Are you caught up to all 5 episodes so far?
No. Yes, except for the one that's airing tonight. I've seen it all, and I'm still just as confused as I've been this entire time.
Yeah, so I'm getting more and more comfortable with it, but at the same time, the rug could be yanked out of my room at any point in time, and the whole room could be missing. Like, what's going on? Where's
Legion?
That's
how episode 5 ended, is they yanked out the entire rug.
Yeah, kind of. I feel more comfortable with it than I did at the beginning, but at the same time, it is like being in a trip.
Yep. Well, I watched it, and like the episode ended, and you see the way that episode ends, and I was like, yep, well, that figures.
And then it was a weird... At the end of every episode, they do a double credit thing. They'll do a kind of a pastel, blocky credit thing to whatever weird music or silence or whatever they want to, and it's different every time. And then they do block credits after that. And the colorful credits this time around after the episode season 5, we're going to have to do this series on this podcast at some point in time. Hopefully we'll know where it's going by the time we get around to it, as Haley said. So we'll see that. Yep. Lauren, are you caught up to it to a certain episode?
I've still only seen the first episode, and then I'm just going to binge all the rest.
That's probably the better way to do it.
That is definitely the way to do it. So yeah, if you haven't started Legion yet, hold off and then binge it when you can.
I'm sure FX is thrilled with us saying that.
Well, it's been renewed for season 2, so, yeah. I mean, they're pretty secure right now at this moment.
Also, they have a 93% score on Rotten Tomatoes and an 82 Metacritic score for the TV show.
92?
93.
90. Wow. Is that just a bunch of drunk college kids or something?
I don't think they're just drunk.
I was trying to be nice.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's it for the news this week, and if you have some news articles, please let us know. And matter of fact, we're going to talk about some more news articles in the feedback session. So here we go.
So to start off with, Born to Eat Bacon sent us this tweet. The pieces of the Infinity War keep sliding into place. And then he sent us the picture of Kate Blanchett as Hela in Thor Ragnarok.
She looks awesome.
Yes. She really does.
And the costume looks great. I can't wait to see her on screen. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett looks pretty awesome just in general. But as Hela, she's got this like goth look going on that I am completely envious of.
The bonus is it's not like the Riddick stories where everything's black and subdued and everything. There's actually color behind her. So I think it makes it stand out a little bit better. I like that look a little bit. And not that Riddick in the Chronicles of Riddick or whatever was bad, but it definitely had a tone to it.
Yep. Next, Mr. Paracletes said, "This looks pretty badass." And then he shared a video with us.
I believe it was the Riri Williams video.
Nice. Way to go.
Yep.
And yes, it is. It is badass.
So if you haven't checked that out, go check that out. It's Mr. Paracletes' tweet to us on March 9th. And it was will also be in the show notes.
Yep. I believe it was just last week when we were talking about the rumored casting for Domino. And then yeah. I think it was either later that night or the very next day.
It was
where
the
we found
next
out,
morning.
No, we were wrong. That is not who was cast. But at Kodiak GWC shared the actual casting with us, and that is Zazie Beetz.
Yeah, she's on Atlanta, and I completely forgot to put this in the news because for some reason I thought we did talk about it last week.
Well, we sort of did because we were positive it was going to be Janelle Monáe.
But yeah, no, Zazie Beetz, she's in Atlanta, which is a good show, and y'all should watch it.
Oh, you mean she doesn't live in Atlanta?
I don't know. She might. I don't know her life, but she's a really good actress, and I can't wait to see her take on Domino, who is one of my favorite characters. And when I was much thinner, I was like, I should totally cosplay Domino when I learned to sew. And then I'm like, effort. But yeah, Domino is an awesome, awesome character. So yes, I'm very glad that she's going to be playing her, and I can't wait to see Domino on screen. And this is just going to be awesome, and I can't wait for this movie.
Yes. Consultant Black Adam retweeted a picture from Adrian Palicki, and it is Adrian Palicki wearing the Mockingbird shirt, asked me about my feminist agenda, which is very, very cool.
Yes.
Posing with Scott Porter, by the way, of the Friday Night Lights.
I never watched it.
At Adana Girl says, "Looks like I found Hydra's preferred couch color. I really would have thought they'd like darker colors."
This is funny.
And it's the Cindy Crawford Madison Place Hydra 2-piece sectional.
With colors indigo, chocolate, cardinal, and Hydra.
Yes. Is, I would describe it as kind of a grayish, slightly blue tinged.
Like, I feel like they were maybe trying to say something to do with like water, but.
Yeah, kind of like a slate almost, except lighter. Yep.
Does this mean that if you cut off the legs, two will take its place?
Two more will take its place.
Oh, that would be such a great way to get more couches. In-
I know. It's like, oh, you're moving into a bigger place. Oh, I got to get new furniture. No, just chop at this piece until it's the size you want it to be.
Oh, funny.
Mr. Paracletes tweeted us something that he thought was hilarious.
I agree.
It says, "This man was on his way to bring his sick daughter some comic books, but he was savagely beaten and robbed. He managed to recover one of the comics from the robbers. Would you please give a like and share and an amen for this brave father?" And it's Logan and X-23 in the car with the comic books.
Yeah, with one of the two comics that were fake for the movie. And yeah, it's funny.
There was a similar thing. I think we talked about it last year, too, when Deadpool came out. Somebody was like, "This soldier was burned in an accident. Please give an amen." And it was Deadpool without the mask.
I still say the idea, one of you two came up with it, I still say the idea of Hugh Jackman doing a cameo as Hugh Jackman in Deadpool would be awesome.
I'd love that.
That would be good.
It's like, he doesn't want to play Wolverine? Okay, don't play Wolverine. Play yourself.
That doesn't sound right.
Mr. Paracletes was sharing with us the news that Samuel L. Jackson might not be in the upcoming movies, and he said they better put him in if they don't want him Nick Furious.
Yeah, did either of you two see Kong Island or whatever they're calling that movie this past weekend?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
I'm wondering what his performance in the trailers look great, and so does John
C. Reilly?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard from some people who went to go see it that it's actually a really fun movie. And I do have a love of kaiju and stuff like that, so I'm interested in seeing it. It's just that I haven't had the time, and I'm also really waiting for Beauty and the Beast this week because that's my favorite Disney movie. So, of course, I'm going to have to see the live action version.
I was just told, under no circumstances will I miss the Saturday viewing of this household of Beauty and the Beast. So we'll see what happens. It looks like it's going to be a fun movie. It's going to be great. I love the movie. Matter of fact, one of the iconic memories that I have of animation growing up is the ballroom scene with the chandelier.
Yes.
And the animation that was done for that. So it was a fun anime. And Gaston, who can
that's like the best Gaston song.
Yeah, I would like to see that one, but the next movie that I have to see is Power Rangers.
Which is also this weekend, right?
Nope, next weekend.
Next, okay. So this weekend, you have lots of beer, basketball, and Iron Fist. And next weekend, you have your iconic movie of the Power Rangers, right?
Yes, and we're going to go see it at Alamo Drafthouse and get silly drunk and watch it.
Nice.
Drafthouse. Is that like Malfoy Draco for...
That's me not being able to talk.
Oh, I see.
Yep, that's what that is.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for your feedback. We really appreciate it. In this particular case, you saved our bacon on a couple of news stories. So thank you very much. And we love interacting with you. And I know Lauren loves interacting with you with her live tweets, which will be next Monday night because we'll be doing Luke Cage versus the episode that airs on Tuesday night. So we're going to walk this one out now. Next week, we will be discussing Luke Cage Episode 7 Manifest, and the ladies will talk about their first thoughts on the Iron Fist series. Just a reminder, you can catch me and my co-host Michelle Ely from Starling Tribune. She's guest hosted on this podcast before. We will be talking about co-hosting and Podcast 101 at the Indiana Comic Con, April 14th through the 16th in Indianapolis, Indiana. We will have a panel each day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Check IndianaComicCon.com for more information. And talking back about this podcast, you can always find us live Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific at www.geeks.live.
You can find our website at legendsofshield.com. And you can find all of our other communication there, too, but...
You can find our voicemail there, especially, which is 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
And don't forget, we do have a Facebook page. Well, the ladies have a Facebook page. That's facebook.com/LegendsOfShield.
Facebook hates Stargate Pioneer.
You can find us on Twitter, where we're at Legends of Shield.
And you can find us on Tumblr, which is legendsofshield.tumblr.com.
And don't forget, we have a YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/gunnageek. I just want to thank you ladies for taking me through this series. It's been fun so far. Probably one of the funnest yet. Well, maybe the Daredevil season one was probably the funnest, but this is close to it. And we are enjoying it as we go along. So I just want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. I've been going over our stats with the ladies last couple of months, and you guys are rocking it because you are listening and we really appreciate your downloads.
I want to thank both Stargate Pioneer for being an awesome, awesome host and producer and everything. And also everybody on Twitter, because we love hearing from you. We love getting our news stories from you because, like SP said, you saved our butts a couple times this week because, like we said, we forgot a couple of news stories. So thank you for that. And during live tweets, we love hearing from you, whether it's our live tweets or yours.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody that sends us any feedback. If anybody feels like they know what is going on in Legion, if you could send us like an email or a voicemail or something and explain it to me, that would be great. I would really appreciate that.
I've even been talking in podcast circles that talk about TV shows and stuff like that. Nobody knows.
I read an article that's like, yeah, we watch a lot of TV. We review TV.
But more importantly, FX, The Americans is back. They've had two episodes out. So go watch Americans. That. The first episode is amazing. If you've kept up to the series so far, first episode is really impactful. Go check that out. They start off with the Russian famine that basically happened during the 80s. And if you were alive during the 80s, you will know that we were all scratching our heads on We're at mortal enemies with the Soviets and we're giving them food. Why? Because of stuff that you will see in The Americans, actually. So check that one out. But I digress. We're going to say goodbye for now. So until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next week. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Did you celebrate Pi Day?
Yes, we got pizza, and it was delicious. Counts as a pie.
I had pie.
Oh my god, Gwyneth Paltrow, stop recommending these stupid things.
What is she recommending?
Goat milk therapy for parasites. She wants you to believe that not only are you infected with parasites, but that they cause almost every illness known to humankind. And, her Gwyneth Paltrow's naturopath, which means bull, says that a parasite is anything that infests the body and has a life of its own.
That is not what that word means.
No. Oh my god, no. Just stop.
My sister called me earlier today because she was bored. And she was at my grandparents' house. And she was like, oh, well, here, say hi to everyone. So she passes the phone around the room. She passes it to my grandpa. And he's like, oh, wait, what? Do I just talk into anywhere on this?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is horrific.
Are you still reading the Gwyneth Paltrow thing?
Yeah, well, it's... Christy tweeted the doctor thing the other day, and she's like, follow this doctor, she'll tell you things not to put in your vagina. And I was like, haha, that's funny, so I'm following her. And she's the one who's like, oh my god, don't. This doctor, Dr. Jen Gunter, is the one who's like, oh my god, this is wrong on so many levels. Oh my god, this is the stupidest thing ever. The way that, oh god. Parasites love milk!
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm going to throw something. This is so stupid.
Are you ladies recording?
Okay. Yes, I'm recording.
Yes.
That's actually the last thing on the checklist. Yeah. I do have it on the checklist.
You've got 17 minutes of audio.
It's the last thing there. I don't know if you can read it or not, but remind ladies to record right there.
Yes.
There is a quote from Esquire. I think my cat just screamed. There's a quote from Esquire.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Yay!
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.